wrote over to the Rav Hashem. So, Shmona Esrei is a product of Anshei Knesset HaGdoilo at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, or the era in between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, according to the Rambam. And in the Halacha places a great emphasis on the first bracha called Ovus, and on Moda. On those two brachas we have the greatest emphasis. We have a special dinim of Kavona, which are attendant to each of those two brachas, to Ovus and to Moda. And we'll examine what the implications of not having appropriate Kavona in the first bracha are. But the Steiblum, in one place in his writing, suggests that if one didn't have Kavona in the first bracha, then one perhaps can rectify the situation by having Kavona at Moedim. So those two brachas demand the greatest concentration, the greatest level of Kavona. Now, what does it mean? In the Halacha we find the Shulchan Aruch writes that if one didn't have appropriate Kavona in the first bracha, that one is not Yotze, and therefore the din was one supposed to daven again. Along came the Rambam, and the Rambam, when I went to elementary school, there was an old joke. I don't believe it's halachically true, but it's an old joke. A guy comes to Shul Rosh Chodesh, and he davens Shmoneh Esrei, and he leaves out the Aleph Yovel. So, okay. So, leave out the Aleph Yovel Rosh Chodesh, you have to daven again. So he davens Shmoneh Esrei a second time. Lo and behold, he leaves the Aleph Yovel a second time. So, okay, what can he do? He's stuck, he goes back, he davens the third time. And again he leaves the Aleph Yovel. So he goes to the Rav, and he asks him, listen, what should I do? So the Rav told him, don't daven again, so I'd go on his telephone, you know. You know, as I say, I don't know a halachic basis for it, but it's an old joke. So, there are more rights. Don't daven again. Because who says you're going to have Kavana the second time? So we may leave it alone. Don't try to fix something that you're only going to make a bigger mess than you have before you started to fix it. So the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal raises a very obvious problem. The Rambam is very good if I finish one Esrei already. So now the question is, should I daven again or not? So the answer is no, because who says you're going to have Kavana the next time? So leave it alone. But what happens if I have the mazel that I get up to Akela Kodesh, and then I remember, oops, I didn't have Kavona by Ovis. So the Chofetz Chaim says, now what am I going to do? If I'm not Yotze, so on what basis am I going to make the next 16 brachas in Shmoneh Esrei? If I'm not Yotze, it's a bracha levatola, so how can I go forward? The Rambam says, I can't go back, and I can't go forward, so what should I do? So that's the problem, the quandary that the Chofetz Chaim raised. One of my chaverim asked Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal about this. So Rav Moshe told him, "You yotze the davening even without kavana." That's what he told him. But without elaboration, he met him on the fly, and that's what Rav Moshe told him as they passed. In the back, I think, of the stipla on Brochus, in the back of that sefer, I believe it's found, there's a shear from the stipla on the subject. And the stipla amplifies what Rav Moshe summed up in, you know, 2 seconds. The stipla wrote a whole shear to give the sources and what it means. And what the stipla wrote is the following. We'll start off, we'll put it, I don't know if he cites this, but that's really the background of it. There's a Chuvas HaRashba. The Chuvas HaRashba writes that what's the essence of Tefillah? The essence of Tefillah is the realization that I'm standing in front of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. If I get up and I know I'm standing in front of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I'm Yotze the Din Tefillah. No matter what I did or didn't do, I am Yotze. I got up and I started Shmoneh Esrei and I landed. Kadmoni Yos, I'm Yotze. Don't ask me what happened in the middle, you know. It's not got personal here. I'm Yotze. Why? I stood up b'shmanesah. I knew I'm standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom. I intended to talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom. I'm yaitzid. I said the words. I'm yaitzid tefillah. Elo, there's a second din. And that din is Chazal obligated us that there has to be a din of tefillah b'kavana. At least as a minimum, as we said in Ovis, and some say in Maidim as well. That din is a separate din from the din of tefillah. Tefillah was yaitzid. But I wasn't Yaitze is the din of tefillah b'kavona. So to go back is for the purpose of being Yaitze the din of tefillah b'kavona. So the Ramah says, don't go back in Damat Shemon Esrei again for tefillah b'kavona, because who says you're going to have kavona the second time? But right now I'm up to Akela Kodesh, and I didn't have kavona. I can still keep going. All that I'm going to, what I'm not Yaitze is the din of tefillah b'kavona. But I am Yaitze is the din of tefillah. So that allows me to daven the rest of Shemon Esrei. That's the way they answer the Chofetz Chaim's kasha, and they explain the Rama. Now we see from here that the baseline is the realization that I'm standing in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom or recite the brachas. So that's already the realization that I'm coming before the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's already, that's the heart and the essence of tefillah.
How come nobody passes that if you don't have that, you need to go back?
What?
I've never heard of anybody passing if you don't have that, you should go back.
Well, listen, I don't know who gets up to daven Shemon Esrei that doesn't realize that he's standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom. What do you get up for?
Consciously or subconsciously?
What did you get up for? Even consciously, what do you get up for?
You're up that part of that.
So why do you stand there? What do you think you're doing? You know yourself what you're doing. That you stand. What do you get up for? Because you're standing in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom.
How often do you have to be?
Yeah, I don't think this in the Chai Odom. You know, there's a Gemara which says that I think the non-Jew told the Tana, Moshe Rabchem Oyev Yisrael. He was an Oyev Yisrael. The Chayodim was an Oyev Yisrael. You know, we passed him in Simon Samach in the Shulchan Aruch that Mitzvah Tzrichos Kavona. Now, the implication of Mitzvah Tzrichos Kavona is severe. It means every time I do a mitzvah, I have to have in mind beforehand that I'm intending to do a mitzvah. So that's not going to leave a lot of what we do in such good shape. So the Chayodim was an Oyev Yisrael. So the Chayodim wrote the following, that Kavona, we can have Kavona by actively thinking, and we can have Kavona by context. That's also Kavona. You put on your tefillin, you come to shul, you sit down after Yishtabach, you start doing Birchas Kriyashma, you say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You got here for the purpose of saying Kriyashma. That's what you came here for. Right? The two highlights of the davening are Kriyashma and Shemon Esrei. That's what you came for. That's the name of the game. So, Mameli, even though you didn't say Hinnan Yimuchar Mazum and Lakayim, Mitzvah to say Shel Kriyashma, still Yoytze, because the context is already enough to establish why it's being done, and that's Mitzvah fulfills Mitzvah Shichos Kavona. So, the Chayodim was an Oyev Yisrael. So, we need Kavona by the first bracha, we need Kavona by Maidu. Now, we need to examine the first bracha of Shemon Esrei. The truth is every bracha, but particularly the first bracha, we have to examine word by word by word. The Vilna Gaon, in his writings in Siddur Hagro, tells us a most powerful idea. It's an idea which none of us would ever come to. I don't think any figure short of the Vilna Gaon ever came to this. But the Vilna Gaon tells us that in all the brachas that we have, certainly in the middle section of the brachas, and it's really true of the first three brachas too, in Shemon Esrei, all of them are hinted at in the first bracha of Shemon Esrei. It's all in the first bracha of Shemon Esrei. That could give us perhaps a little bit different insight that in the Tefillah of Shabbos, Tosis writes in Tefillah of Shachar, Tosis says we shouldn't be matriach b'Shabbos. That's why we don't have bakoshes on Shabbos. What's wrong with bakoshes? That tircha. Yitochein that in actuality, since it's all included in the first bracha, there was Samech on the brief version, on the kitzah version, the short form for Shabbos, al tzericha. But it's all in the Tfilas Shabbos, in the first bracha, has it all. And the Goyen, as he goes through Shemon Esrei, points out the connection between each bracha and what part of the bracha of Ovis corresponds to it. So it's an amazing insight of the Grom. So we're going to begin to take a look at it. And we'll go word by word. Well, first we'll start with the word. Now, they're not all in order. The Goyim as from V'lam Hashin until Shomei Atvila are all at the beginning. Then it starts from, then it goes to Ovis, Gvuros, and then Kedushas Hashem, and then it starts at the Chaylin. And the only bracha after that that's out of order is that Roithi Chayli Amma Yisrael and Goyo Yisrael are inverted. But they're all in this bracha. Now the first thing we have to know is, what does the word Baruch mean? Now it's true. Chazal told us that Al Tehi Birchas Kal Hedyet Kalabaynecha, that a bracha even of a simple person shouldn't be taken lightly. Now ultimately, what's the reason for it? He's a simple person. But every simple person has an neshama. So he has something divine to him. And therefore, his bracha, this final points this out, in the brachas that Lava gave to Yaakov Avinu, since the person is a tzelem alakim, he has the kayach to give a bracha with his tzelem alakim. So don't take anyone's bracha lightly. They all have impact. Could have impact. So that's fine in the human realm, but it doesn't extend to giving brachas to the Rabbeinu Shalala. That's not in our realm or in anyone's realm to give the Rabbeinu Shalala brachas. We receive bracha from him, but we don't give the Rabbeinu Shalala brachas. So what do I mean by the word Baruch Ato? But Baruch is a state. For example, the word shamur means something that is watched. So baruch means something which is blessed. And the Rishonim then render, what does baruch mean? That the Rabbeinu Shalom, because he's blessed, he's the source of all bracha. Baruch ato means that you are the source of all bracha, Hu Hashem. He's the source of all bracha in the world. So the Goyen writes, he points to the bracha of Olam Hashinim. Now, as we know, the real text of Olam Hashinim is not Olam Hashinim. Right? In the Vilaminim or the Sfaradish Nusach has still Olam Hashimodim. Because what was that bracha written for? The bracha was written for concerning the early Christians. The early Christians were a part of the Jewish community. In the same way, I guess, that the Shabbosai Tzvi people were part of the Jewish community. And they were not so readily discernible who they were. This was, for many, it was a closet belief. And Chazal grew alarmed by it, and they wanted to put an end to it. So they made a bracha that the Rabbeinu Shalom should not allow them to thrive. It's certainly not in our midst. Now, the word min that we have in Shas, so we take min to mean an apikurus. But min is not, the min is a particular type of apikurus. Min is an early Christian. That's what the word min means in Shas. So this bracha was written by Shmuel HaKotan was to rid ourselves particularly of the influence of these minim, that they should not be able to sway the Jewish community. And we could realize how terrible the problem was is reflected. We have in different eras in Jewish history the same issue. You had when the era of the second bias, when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kochim Kochim, so one of the Mishnah says they used to tell them, Ishi Kohen Gadol, and they made him swear Right? There was a machlaikas of the tztukim and the prushim where you have to put the incense into the coals. Outside the kochim kochim or in the kochim kochim. So they made him swear that he would follow the psak of the prushim. Why? Because they were unsure if it is Kohen Gadol, what he was going to do. Nobody knew. They had a problem at the time of the minim of the early Christians. He sent the guy up to be chazan, and he had no idea if he was on your side or on the other side. So one of the things that we find in the halacha, if a guy refused to say the bracha without moshinim, they kicked him out. Because that means, why didn't he say the bracha? No probability, because he was one of them. So that's how difficult the situation was. He didn't know the guy sitting next to you in shul, where he was. But he believed in what he didn't believe. You know, now Baruch Hashem, at least in our time, you know, we're here, and those guys are down on 77th and, you know, Main Street. You know, they have their own place. You know, so Shalom HaYisrael. You know, they have their place, we have ours, and, you know, we come Saturday, they come Sunday, you know. At least we know who's who. We know who the players are. But then, you didn't know. Everyone came to the same place. Shabbos morning, everyone showed up. And you had no idea who the guy was next to you, where his real allegiance was. So this was the brocha that he wanted to make a brocha, and it was not easy to make a brocha in Shmoneh Esrei, until they found Shmuel HaKotan. Shmuel HaKotan made the brocha. Now, what's so hard to make a brocha? We can write a brocha, and we'll get some of whatever. Rabbi Pearl's wife is a big expert on digduk, and we'll make sure that we have all the digduk straight, and that's it. We'll also write a brocha. What's the big deal? The big deal is one thing. Before I wrote Shmoneh Esrei, the tefillah of the Poshet Yid and the tefillah of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, were two different tefillahs. Each one was mispalel according to his grasp of the Rabbeinu Shalom and his Amunah. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who had a totally different understanding of Amunah, his tefillah was a different tefillah. That a Poshet person. Each one davened according to his insight and his understanding. Now we made a formalized Shmoneh Esrei. After we formalized the Shmoneh Esrei, so Rabbi Akiva has to daven the same Shmoneh Esrei as the guy that, you know, that all he learned in Yadis was how to read. And the two of them are davening the same Shmoneh Esrei. So to make Shmoneh Esrei for the guy that's unlettered, we could also do that. But to have in that same Shmoneh Esrei or Shmoneh Esrei which fits the needs of Rabbi Akiva, that we're not so ready to undertake. That you really have to know what you're doing. So they finally found Shmuel HaKotan, who had that ability to write a bracha in Shmoneh Esrei, that the Vilna Gaon al pi Kabbalah will find what he needs to find in the bracha, and we davening our Pasha the Tefillah will find what we need. And it's all in the same bracha. That's a kuntz. So, why don't we perceive the Rabbeinu Shel Olam as the Mekor HaBracha? The reason is because of all the scoffers that don't believe. So therefore they create a climate in the world where the Amunah becomes confused and hidden. So that's what the Gro writes. The Gro says, the Olam HaShinim, when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam removes Altihi Sikva V'Chol Risho Kerega Toived, when that will happen, then we will all recognize the Hashem Elohim, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the Mekor HaBracha. It's clouded now by the scoffers in the world. But when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam pushes the scoffers away, then it will become apparent, the presence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We'll understand very clearly that all Bracha comes from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So the word Baruch, he said, is an allusion to the Bracha of Olam HaShinim. Now, Atta is the most amazing word in Shmoneh Esrei. By far, it's the most amazing word. I mean, there are holier words. Yudke Vovke is holier than Atta. That's true. But Atta is the most amazing word. Why? If those of us that know anything about European languages, right, in the Yiddish language and in German, it's the same, right? There's do and there's ear, right? You go to your friend, you say do. You go to a rishon, you don't go to the rov and say do. You know, you're thrown out. That's chesaron and derech eretz. So ato is a Matomer. What do you say? It's a conversation with you. We're two of us, two buddies, we're having a conversation. Matomer, what do you have to say? Now I'm going to come to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and I say casually, yeah, I'm sitting across the table. What do you have to say today? The way we talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's mind-boggling that we can address the Rabbeinu Shalom in such fashion. Now from this I came to an idea, which is really a little bit of a digression, but it's important. That Ata is the most important word in Shemoneh Esrei. Why? If we stop for a moment every time we said Ata, first start with all the Atos, to realize what I'm saying. I'm addressing the Rabbeinu Shalom, you, like you're sitting across the table from me. If we stop to think that that's how I'm talking to the Rabbeinu Shalom, we would experience his presence and feel in a very different fashion. After we get used to that, then we can hear all the words that have the Torah as part of them. Bekerav Tono Malkeinu, B'Shem Chagoldo V'Akodosh Aleinu Karoso, all with the Atos tucked into it. Ato V'Chartonu, where the Torah is tucked in. First start with all the Atos. I'm speaking, we're given license to speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And how? Pale, pale down. Like he's sitting across the table from me, he's my buddy. I can just talk at you. What do you have to say today? You. It's an amazing word in Shemoneh Esrei. It's amazing. It's the most amazing word in the whole Shemoneh Esrei, the word Ato. So the Gro writes that's the allusion to the Brocha of Alat Tzadikim. Why? Who runs the world? The Rabbeinu Shalom runs the world. What happens? Along comes the Tzaddik, and Tzaddik goes of HaKadosh Baruch Mekayim. He tells the Rabbeinu Shalom, I want the world run this way. And the Rabbeinu Shalom has a special regard for that which the Tzaddikim ask of him. It's Tzaddik goes of HaKadosh Baruch Mekayim. Go to your boss and tell him, you run the company, I think you should do this and this and this in the company. He'll tell you, the door's over there. When I want your opinion, I'll come ask for it. And here, a tzaddik goes and he tells the Rabbeinu Shalom, this is the way the world should be run. And not only does an HaKadosh Baruch Hu throw him out, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tzaddik goes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. The Rabbeinu Shalom is Mekayim, that which he wants. So what does that tell us? It tells us of the tremendous anova of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom is humility, that he doesn't hold himself on a high pedestal in his dealings with us. And that's inherent in the word Ato. Now, the third word in Shemoneh Esrei is Yudke Rovke. Ado. Right, it's spelled as if it's spelled Yudke Vavke, but it's pronounced from the word master. Now, we cannot translate the word Yudke Vavke as God. That's a mistake. For a very simple reason. Your name is Leon Stern. If I'm to put it into French, so what am I going to say? That guy said, Leon Stern said. If it's not his proper name, so then I can write, yeah, that guy said. But if it's his proper name, I don't care if I put it into French, Chinese, or Russian. It's still Leon Stern. Yudke Vovke of Hankensatzal says that's the proper name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't mean God. It's the name of Hashem. There's no translation of that word. That is Hashem's name, his proper name. So we address the Rabbeinu Shalom by his proper name. Now, what's peculiar about this?
What? His proper name, therefore. I mean, what is it?
You can't
to be
translate. You cannot translate a proper name. Could I translate Yaakov Meltzer? What's Yaakov Meltzer in Chinese? Oh, it's Yaakov Meltzer. It's your name.
We're supposed to have a kavanah in the same.
Well, say, it implies certain things. The name implies. A name in Lashon Kodesh Why did Adam Arishan, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo brought all the animals in the world to him and he gave them the name? Because the name is not arbitrary in Lashon Kodesh. We call something a lion, a monkey, a dog, it's whatever we want. We can render it into Yiddish too. Right? A lab, etc. Hunt. But they're all just what people have agreed to call it. But it has no connection with what the item actually is. A name in Lashon Kodesh, shame, defines the essence of something. Okay, so we don't obviously understand either the chokhmah of Adam Arishan and the names, but the name is to define the essence of different things. That's a name. Ultimately, a name, even that we give things, but if we give it, Chazal tell us, is that, and it's a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Noach, that at the time when there was Nevuah, so a person had a child would go to the Novi, and the Novi would tell him what to name the child. Why? Because the name reflected what the life of the child would be. Rus, Chazal tell us, she had a descendant, David HaMelech, who would shower the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with praise and Sefer Tehillim. A name captured the essence of what a person was in this world for. After the lapse of Nevuah, so we couldn't go to the Novi anymore, right? Shaul went to the Novi for what reason? His father's donkeys got lost. So what did he do? So he went to the Shaul went and he went to the Novi and he asked him to Shmuel and Novi, listen, my Kish's donkeys got lost. Where am I going to find them? So and the Novi would tell him what to do. Where to go find them? So you went and you asked the Novi how to name your child to. But in the absence of Nevuah, Chazal say, so now we name after the others, our forefathers, our ancestors. So a name defines the essence of what something is, if it's given in the right fashion. Now the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's name is unique, because it's pronounced in one fashion, and it's written in a different fashion. What's the pshat? So it's written first Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Now that should be with the comments under the Yud. Rabbeinu Bachai writes this in the beginning in Parshas Vayera, and he was a Sfardi, even according, and that's to differentiate between Adonai is my masters, and with the Oy means the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So that's the convention that was established to differentiate between those two. It's probably not even correct, even according to Sfardim, to actually, according to the Emissary, to pronounce Yudke Vovke with an I at the end of it. But yet, we spell it Yudke Vovke. For what reason? So, the meaning of Yudke Vovke is, comes from the word Hoyo, Hove V'Yia. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam transcends all time in this world. It's timeless. He existed from the very dawn of history and before the dawn of history, during history, and after history, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will exist. And that is really what we imply is the presence of Shechinah in this world. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam's presence in this world. All Yehovah V'yah is manifest in all the different eras of the world. Now, where is the Shechinah most manifest in the world? In the Beis HaMikdash. So, with the Rishalayim Yerucho Barachamim Toshu, B'Sishkoin B'Solcho Kasher Dibarto. The Shechinah will rest in the Mikdash. So, the Yudkei Vovkei is Merame, it alludes to the Brocha with Rishalayim, the place where the Shechinah could be most intensively experienced in this world. Now we have Elokei Avoseinu. No, Elokei implies that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the source of all power in the world. He has unlimited power, and nothing can really be an obstacle to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He has all the abilities, and he's the ultimate source of all power in the world. Now, the Goyen writes that in what schus is the Gula Asida going to come? So the implication is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is Tav Dashkocha Protus, that everything in the world is under the care of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He has no partners. There's no one else that can tell him what to do. There's one source of all decisions and all input, and that is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself. But he says that's the Yisoid. The Yisoid of the Gula Asidah is Hashgacha Pratis. Only the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, with his intimate involvement with the world, could bring about the Gula Shel Gula. And that's the Brachas Tzemach David Abducha Mehiras Atzmiach. And the Gula stems from Velokei, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's intimate involvement with the world. Now, we mispalo before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Why are Atfilas accepted? Amatzchus. So, perhaps it's a combination of a few factors. The most important factor is that we have Schus always. We come before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and we say we are the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's our claim to fame. Right? Lo merub chami kolo amen, right? Rak ba vaseichem choshak Hashem. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam loved the others. So Mameila, whether we were worthy on ourselves or not so worthy in our own right, but the Rabbeinu Shel Olam loved our others. No, if he loved his others, then he'll do everything for the children of the others. So that's, on one hand, the Kabbalah Satfilas is the Nishma Kolenu Hashem Alokeinu, to accept Satfilas is dependent on Schus Ovis. It's dependent on another factor that I spoke about during the Rosh Hashanah. And that is, you know, we come to daven once in a while. We daven, we're fully focused, and, you know, we start from Hashem Sposei Tiftoch, and we go through everything, you know, properly. We're passionately involved in the tefillah and fully focused. That's a tefillah. Some days we get up for Shemona Esrei and remember taking the three steps forward, and then on autopilot we hit Kadmoriyos. You know, don't ask me anything that happened in between. It's at least the fifth. So the Shaila is: so in Shemayim, what are they going to do with that feeling? I put on tefillin, that I give 2 seconds thought that in the tefillin it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. No idea of the tefillin is to subjugate myself to HaKadosh Baruch. Did it cross my mind for a half a second while I was wearing it? And even if I said the tefillin before, that some say in the morning, which is supposed to focus me on all the kavanos, but I was on autopilot when I did that one too. So I missed that tefillah. I'm amazed I didn't give one thought to my tefillah today. Yeah, I took a lulav and esrog, that's true. But unfortunately, something was possible there. I messed up one of the details. So listen, I spent the money and I came and I had the desire to do the mitzvah. But bottom line, it didn't happen. So what are they going to do with all of these mitzvahs? So the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal writes about this in two different places that I found. In the second section of Avos Chesed, the Perek Beis of Perek Gimel, and they have a Chofetz Chaim on Chumash, not the classical one, but the Chofetz, made a likud from the Chofetz Chaim's, all the Vertloch that they have in all a million different Sforim, and then we'll lock them, and it's in Parshas Re'eh. And the Chofetz Chaim addresses really two different issues, but they both come to the same thing. He addresses what our standing will be before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam after Me'ev Esrim Shana, how we're going to be. That's what he addresses in Avos Chesed. And in the Chofetz Chaim on the Torah, he addresses it from the standpoint of what's going to happen on Yom Kippur, when we stand in judgment before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And in the actuality, they're both true. So the way he puts it in the one on Chumash, where he's addressing Yom Kippur, he asked a very simple question. I talked about this the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Avinu Malkeinu Kasvinu B'Seifu Zechuyes. A strange request. You can say Kasvinu B'Seifu Parnosu V'Chalkala. Listen, I beg you, put me there. Give me, you know, Shlach before Shleim and the Chole Am. Oh, good. Okay, I can ask, you know. Kosvena would say for Gula Vishua, fine. But what? Even Kosvena would say for Slicha Mechila, you should buy him the tshuva that I did should be sufficient. It's all different levels of tshuva. My tshuva should be. But what's Kosvena would say for Zchuyas? You know, in this world, we can be written into all types of places that we don't deserve to be written into. If you know the secretary that's in charge, and she says, oh, Issa Rosenberg is my friend. Don't ask any questions. What the process is, what the process wasn't, all of a sudden Issa Rosenberg is number three on the list. That's it, you know. If you're not friends, you can do a few favors for the guy in charge, and he'll take care of you too. But in Shemayim, it's not going to work. You can't do that. So, Monofshach. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekafei HaSchar Kol Beryo. We do a mitzvah, the Rosh Hashanah pays. So, if I did the mitzvah, so they're going to write me and say, B'zchus, I have the schus. If I didn't do it, so Begonish Telfon, nothing's going to help me to wiggle my way into that book. So, what are we asking? Because we're going to say, B'zchus, whatever Bakosha is that. So the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal writes the following. What do we do with all of these mitzvahs that are dubious that we've done in our life? You know, where do they fit? So it says it depends. You know, they have two types of systems. They have strict accounting systems and they have relaxed accounting systems. So it depends, you know, some auditors are, that's it, you know, and your one penny was in the wrong place and they're ready to hang you. And another guy, $50,000, is that, you know, you have some answer, but it's not exactly. Listen, the other 3 million is in place, I can live with this 50,000, and it's fine, you know? So which one do you get? How do they decide? So if you get, we get strict accounting in Shemayim, then we're in trouble. Then they'll say, this chisson, the mitzvahs are going to go flying, they're going to disappear. If we get the relaxed order, so that's it. So they'll say, listen, the guy showed up to daven, got out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning, he came to daven. He did tefillin, he didn't think about it, he put on the tefillin. Listen, he came, right? He didn't sleep. He has to get schar. You're right, we can't give him the full schar, the guy that came and was on fire with the tefillin. But he came, he has to get it. And kohen of a kohen, he came to do the mitzvah, he botched up one of the protim, but lemaisa came to do the mitzvah. He did an avera, listen. We could throw the book at him. He's carved the mazed. Oh, we could take a lenient stance and say he was pressured, he was this, he was that, he's carved the shaygik. But what are ways we could interpret? So how do they decide in Shemayim which one it is? So it depends, he says. But there are, the way we set our own standard. What does that mean? Yeah. I made a deal with a guy, he promised me this and this, and if he has the slightest deviation from what he promised me, I'll skin him alive. So listen, so your standards, you're a strict auditor, right? A guy gave his word to you and he one dot's in the wrong place, you skinned him alive. So, okay, if that's the way you think business should be conducted in Shemayim, they say, well, run business your way. We'll also subject you to the same standard. It's your standard. Another guy, listen, basically, he lived up to what it was. If a mistake here, a mistake there, a deficiency there. Listen, life is full of deficiencies. It's all right, you know, we'll settle up gently on it and life will go on. So in Shemayim, they say, okay, if that's your system, we'll judge you with the same system. So if we get the latter system, so then they'll say the guy showed up to davening, he put on the tefillin, the hadas was posel. Chofetz Chaim specifically talks about missing one of the protim in the mitzvahs. He spells it out. But he came in a lulav and esrog. He wanted to do the mitzvah. So good, we got to give him tzar. So he says, one woman is palo before the Rabbeinu Shalom Kosmeda b'sefer schuyais. What we mean is the following. We have a lot of mitzvahs which are of dubious value. So may the Rabbeinu Shalom grant that all the ones that are of dubious value, that they get registered in the Sefer HaSchuyos, that we get them in. So that's another aspect of the Kabbalah Satfilas. That If we act in an accepting way, in an easy fashion, and not in a rough fashion with the people that we deal with in this world, so we're zeicha that in the Bezit Shamayla, I say, okay, if this is his standard. Listen, when it came to the things that were important to him, he still had that standard. So listen, then he's worthy that we should judge him with that standard. So this is the inyan of schus ovis, that a person has schus ovis. And the schus of the ovis, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is mekabel atfilas. Now, the next six words in Shmoneh Esrei, three of them are the same. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Now, why in the world do we have Elokei three times? What would have been the problem if we wrote Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov? I mean, after all, when all is said and done, remember, we're the people that proclaimed Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You know, if the Lahavdol, the Elof Avdol is the Greeks, yeah. So then, you know, you have a whole pantheon up there. So, okay, so then you understand why everyone, okay, this one, okay, that one, okay, the third one, and okay, the millionth one. But in our religion, we have Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So what do you mean, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? But the question is not from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's end. You know, you can look through the looking glass from both sides. So we're not looking from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's end. We have to look from our end. How do we... The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is one. That's all. But how do we interface with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? So what do we say in the Shabbos down? Adam cha chancha v'lo yidaticha. All we can do is give mesholim about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, give descriptions about it, but v'lo yidaticha, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we don't really know. No one can claim that we know the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We can look at his actions in this world, and that hints about what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is about. But v'lo yidaticha, at the end of the day, we don't know you. How we relate to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, there are different paths of Avodah. Avraham Avinu was the path of Chesed. Through Chesed is where he found his greatest connection to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Yeah, of course, Avraham Avinu was a person of Yiras Shamayim, of Gvura. But his essence, his Ikar Avodah, was B'Chesed Shelo. The Yiras Shamayim was there, but that was not the Ikar. In his avodah, his interface with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was in terms of the Chesed, an appreciation of the Chesed Hashem and his Chesed that he did. Yitzchak, on the other hand, was Pachad Yitzchak. Yitzchak's derech in the world was Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim. Did Yitzchak do Chesed? Of course he did Chesed. But there's a difference. If I described Rav Aryeh Levine, and I'll describe his son-in-law, Rabbi Yosef. So you would say, listen, Rav Aryeh was an awesome guy and a masmid noira. Yeah, it's true. But what was his essence of his avodah? The most prominent aspect of his avodah was his chesed. At least in what we experienced of it. There was another side to him in his Torah, etc. But Chesed was an awesome part of his Avodah in this world. Take a person like Rabbi Yosef, of course he was a Baal Chesed. But what was his defining aspect was his Torah. That's what defined him. That was the ultimate of what he was about. So different people in Avodah Hashem accentuate different aspects. So when we say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, what we're talking about is how each of the others, how we related to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through what connection, through what perspective. Avram Avinu was the Omer HaChesed. His principal connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was with Chesed. Of course it was a Maimon, and of course it was a Yerush Shamayim, but his connection was with Chesed. Yitzchak, on the other hand, his connection was with Yiras Shamayim. chesed was not the same chesed as Avraham Avinu. That wasn't his madrega. That wasn't his avoda. And Yaakov, what we're told, is a combination of the two. Tiferes is Alpi Torah, is a combination of how to combine the chesed and the gvura. So there are different, there's a combination of the two. There's one who's accentuated more than the other. There are three different drochem in the service of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So this Rabbeinu Shel Olam we access, we relate to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Now here we have the allusion to the first three brochas. The first brocha is Mogen Avraham. Avraham Avinu, B'choch Chaisman. After everything is said and done, what's the starting point? Is Mogen Avraham. Why B'choch Chaisman? Because the Omer Chesed is what the Torah stands on. That's what it stands on. The second brocha is Gvuras. That's the brocha of Yitzchak, of Yerushalayim. The greatness of the realization of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he was focused on. Pachad Yitzchak. Right? That's consistent. Yitzchak is the Oilat Mimah. That aspect, that connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And Yaakov Avinu is the third bracha of the Kedusha is the combination of those two, of the Chesed and the Gvura. That Yaakov Avinu combined. So here we have the allusion to the first three brachas in Shemoneh Esrei. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. I believe Rav Schwab writes, if I recall correctly, HaKeil, HaGodol, HaGibor, VaHanoiro also references back to the Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Godol, Ugdol Chosed we have in Ashrei. Chanum v'rachem Hashem erech apayim gedol chosed. So godol can be used as a description of the midas ha-chesed. Gibor is the pachad yitzok, the gvurus. And noiro is really al pitoiro, the combination of chesed and gvura. And that's the reference to Yaakov Avinu. So here we have again this phrase, okay? HaGodol, HaGibor, VaHanoira is Kailal, the first three brachas in Shemoneh Esrei. Now, Yitochen, that's the pshat that on Shabbos, that I didn't mention this before, did I? I talked about Shabbos or not? I didn't recall if I put this in at the beginning. So we'll go through. So the Goyin, as he goes through the brachos in Shemoneh Esrei, shows us that in the Hakdomo, in the first bracha in Shemoneh Esrei, we laid out Shemoneh Esrei from here all the way until Moed. It was all laid out already. Then we go back. This is the Klal. And then we're going to go back to the Prat, that little by little, step by step by step, to amplify upon each one. But the essence of the Shemoneh Esrei is included in the first bracha. So Be'ez Hashem, next week, we'll continue from Kael Elyon. We still have a way to go, just to finish the first bracha. So this we need the Vilna Gaon to be able to see Shemoneh Esrei in such depth, to understand this, to fathom this in Shemoneh Esrei. We could say Shemoneh Esrei for a million years, and we would never see it.
According to
him,
that's why the first
bracha
requires the
kavanah. That would be the special Indian, that why the first bracha has such chashivas. Because really, that's the whole Shemoneh Esrei is in the first bracha. It's all the way until Shemaya Tefillah, then starts another part of Shemoneh Esrei. But all the way until there is just the protum. The klal of the whole Shemoneh Esrei is in this bracha. It will hold it this. Here, Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll take it up.
What would you have a tefillah like Havineinu? That's also supposed to be...
that's good to adapt for the middle and the Havineh.